time of the week again. Prepare yourself for the Surveyors of Saws, the Sultans of Spaghetti, the whispers in your ears. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the What's Your Spaghetti Policy Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Alex and Jacob.
Episode 250.
Told you we should have came in with like the what is it, the Rocky theme song, but I've never actually sat down and watched a Rocky movie.
They're fine.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh, I've seen them all.
Are they good?
They're fine.
Sylvester Stallone, I hear he doesn't speak a single word in it.
That's incorrect.
I mean, like, but it depends. Like, because he does speak technically.
You're,
thinking like,
of just... Rambo, where he like kills one person.
He's like, "Hey guys, Adrian." I remember that.
Hey, Adrian.
Adrian. Anyways, and then the Russian guy, he kills Adrian. Right? Spoiler. So, decades old movie. Rambo, like spoiler alert, he thinks he's in the war still, and he's having like PTSD. It's actually a movie about PTSD, and now it's like, you know.
Are you getting all this from Always Sunny?
Oh, no, I don't know.
He drew first blood.
Yeah, it's actually where most of my knowledge of Rambo comes from, is Frank's reenactment of Rambo.
So. Don't ever hunt a man.
I guess, you know.
Anyways, so episode 250, tried to do something a little special-ish, I guess. Just a deep dive into... Polar Destroyer, issue one, sort of the trials and tribulations of running a Kickstarter for the first time, and all the things that that entails, Q&A, sort of AMA, sort of all that sort of deal. It's how we're going to just sort of, you know how we roll, you know.
It's episode 250. It's a Q&A. You guys have heard of QA before, you know. It's a question AMA. And answers. Ask me anything. You know, we're going to get a subreddit started. There's already, technically speaking, a subreddit for What's Your Spaghetti Policy Podcast.
Is there?
I haven't posted anything in there since like episode 40. Okay, so 210 episodes later, still
it's
doing
like
this.
You have a problem with commitment.
I mean, it was just me. I'm the only person in that subreddit. So,
No one else knows about it.
Who am I posting for? So,
yeah. Well, it's because you didn't invite anybody.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, I don't know how I don't work Reddit to begin with.
You do too. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. All that to be said. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
That's the episode. Hey, everybody.
Anyways. Are you running this or am I running this?
Oh, yeah, sure. I can start it. I can kick it off. I can get us started. I'm looking. Oh, spaghetti policy. It's just this. It's r/spaghetti policy. So,
yeah. Doesn't matter.
Oh, episode 21 was the last time I posted a poster in there. Anyways. Oh, man. You want me to start off? What do you want me to start off with? You want me to start off with what Jim wrote?
I'm going to be talking a lot, so I'm just following your lead.
Okay, let's go ahead and I'll go ahead and get Jim's request off the
top. We'll go ahead and spoilers. There will be spoilers entailing all the book, the end of the book, the future of the series, all these sort of things.
Yeah, for the first issue of Polar Destroyer.
Yes. So if you've not read it, I will say that my goal was to have all the books out and available to the public by issue 250. 2 weeks ago, I didn't think it was going to be possible, and it was, and I did it.
Look at this.
So
here we are. You know,
I know.
Here,
like
you
I,
are rather. I didn't
right.
do shit.
Yeah, you didn't do. Fucking
I didn't
shit.
Do fucking shit.
Except support it. So it's all that matters. But yeah, having it out and being done with it is an incredible feeling. Like it's crazy. It's crazy.
Say, yeah. How does it feel now? Like, we'll just go ahead and ask that question. How does it feel to have something that you've had so near and dear to your heart for 10 probably plus years?
Right.
Right. Like, how does it feel now that that thing is out there in the open, in front of people's faces? You're getting compliments. You're getting, you know, criticisms. Like, how's it feeling? Where are you at?
It's weird. I think the moment that all of those sort of emotions kind of hit is when I held that proof for the first time, the first proof, knowing that like you're towards the end, this is the thing, you've done the work, everything is led up to this moment. This is the final, what I thought was the final hurdle of this whole process of like you have a physical, tangible proof of this thing that you've done that came out of your brain. And that's where like when I got the proof, I was like shaking. I was literally shaking. I was just like,
Like, I approve this, and then that dream that I've had is
yeah.
then a thing. Like, this is all I got.
Which
That's like one of the last steps, like the last two steps at the end of the finish line. And I
approval,
once,
printing, shipping. Like that was the last, like I said, I was like almost at the very end of it. And it's like no, there's no going back once you hit yes, mass print this thing. And it was weird. And then like I don't even know how to explain. Like I was very much aware of the moment, you know, and like how big of a deal it was. And I did the jitters. I had the jitters. I opened it up. I looked at it, but that sort of subsided really quickly when I looked through it and didn't, I was just sort of like blank headed, you know, I was just like, oh my God, like in awe that I had done this thing. And then I had to like relook at it and actually like look at it to make sure that everything that was in there was supposed to be the way it was. That first glancing, I was just like, I don't like, you know, I don't even recall looking at it because it was just like that moment, you know. But it's weird to sort of it's a vulnerable feeling knowing that like you put this thing out there. And you know, as critical as I've been on things in forms of entertainment, it's like, oh, big boy, like here you go, put your big boy pants on now. That's your it's
Yeah,
your
now
turn.
that's yeah, you're always as our friend group says, like you're always a negative Nancy. Let's see you put something out there, huh? You're always talking about how these things, you know, suck or this could have did this better. How about you put that out there? You know, that's obviously a joke because you're not, you're technically a ball of sunshine as some people have reported, you know, so.
But it's a little, I don't know, it's sort of different in the sense that like I am very, very proud of what I did. Like if someone came up to me and was like, I read it and it was a heaping pile of shit, I'll be like, dude, thanks for reading it. Like, I appreciate it. Like,
Yeah, joke's on you, fucker. You read
yeah, you know, because
it. You know,
it's not for everyone. And I think that I have a I've never not appreciated comics. I mean, I've been reading them my whole life, right? But I think I have a little bit more of a an appreciation of just like effort. I know that doesn't necessarily mean that like you just get a pass. Like it just means that like, you know, maybe it's hard because like I'm just a person who's over maybe overly critical, I don't know. But I do have much more appreciation for like what goes into it because I don't think that to the general person, like you think a comic book, oh, you write this script and you give the artist directions and they draw it and then that's it. Like there's
It's such a
so
it's there is such a detachment from it because it's like you see it in the stores, right? You see issue 1, 2, 3, 4, and you just like you have this
You
like
just
from me
consume it.
coming from the common man here. I've never like created anything, okay? So it's like there's such a disassociation with like how that comes into being. You just assume like, oh, people liked it, so they made a second issue. People liked it, so they made a third issue. And it's like there's so like just being with you and this like watching you go through the steps, it's helped me appreciate, you know, content more where it's like it's so much more than
I
just
think
saying, hey, I got this idea, put it on
it's a
paper
little
and get it out the
different.
door, you know.
It's a little different in terms of like, you know, look at it in terms of like video games. Like, you know, we always talk about, oh, well, like, how is this company that spends $250 million on a game? How is it broken when it comes out? Why is it riddled with microtransactions? Like, blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh, like, you know, Cyberpunk was a broken mess when it came out. Like, how is that even possible? But then on the flip side, you can get a studio of like 10 people, and it may not be the most polished thing in the world, but you get a pass. You get a little bit more of a pass because it's like, oh, that's a small dev. You know, they don't have Q&A stuff. So I think that can be applied to comics is too. Like Marvel and DC, like they have all of these hands in a cookie jar, right? Whereas opposed to like me and, you know, Jeff and Ben and some of the indie creators we've had on our show, it's just like there's a lot more that we put into it because we don't have 5, 10, 15 people controlling everything, you
In a
know.
sense, you can't afford to make that mistake of like
Well,
creating
even if you
something of.
do, I think you get you for like it's like a built-in not a pass, but like the mistakes that I made on this Kickstarter, I sort of get a free pass on because I'd never done it
Yeah.
before. Obviously, you know, we can get into like a lot of some of the mistakes that were made, but then it's like you if you continuously make those mistakes, you no longer get those that same sort of pass that you get with the first time. Like obviously, like it took too long. Like it took too long. There's
Yeah.
tons of variables of why it did. But the end product, like at the end of the day, you know, like the end product is kind of fucking incredible. Like it's
It's fire, dude. I mean, like
it's
I've held
kind
it
of
in my hand.
incredible.
Like I know that there's a lot of people out there that have waited to hold and like read it in the first physical copy. And it's like one of those things where I don't hate that I went ahead and like read the digital copy, but at the same time, holding the physical copy and seeing like how the pages are supposed to look like actually on print and
And
stuff like that.
feeling it, smelling it, touching it,
Yeah,
like
I licked
it's
it. I licked it several times, but you know, it's whatever. Pages are, I wouldn't recommend it because you know, it's not healthy, I would assume.
right.
But no, yeah, it was just, it feels incredible just to hold it in my hands there and see it. Like, and that one, the big panel, I think it's like the second or third page where like they're having the square
Page
off.
3 and 4.
Yeah, dude, that panel, that spread, oh man, it is like
It's
shit,
nasty. It's
dude.
nasty,
Yeah,
dude.
you don't have a full appreciation
It'll be
until you
four and
hold it and
five.
you hold it against your face. You're like,
Originally,
wow.
it was originally it's pages 3 and 4. It's pages 4 and 5.
I just know they're fighting. I don't
That's
remember
that
page
again. That's a
numbers, but
giant. That's the first big mistake is that when I wrote the thing, I did not account for pages being in the sequential order that they are because I just like wrote pages. Oh yeah, 3 and 4. Like those two are going to go together, but really, page 1 is on the right side. Page 2 is the next page.
not
So
my dumbass reading it. I've been reading so much manga whenever I
you read
like
it
first got the
backwards.
digital copy. I read it backwards and I was sitting here, I was like, dude, I don't know, man. Like it feels like it's not very cohesive the way it's going right now. Then I realized that fuck, I was reading it the wrong way. I got through half of the book before I realized that was, but
it wasn't until fucking after the Kickstarter was over that I'm like, oh shit. Like I did this wrong. Like I did the like th I have to now rearrange this book to accommodate this splash page because you can't cut the splash page. Like it's meant to be, you know, seen
together, yeah.
together. And so we just, you know, thankfully, you know,
I
again,
thought it could be a stylistic choice where you have
no,
like one page on one the you don't get appreciation until you like go to flip the
No,
page, like fold
it
and go
is
together.
absolutely meant to be devoured in that sense and
Ooh,
consumed
issue
and
two, you gotta have one of those bifolds where it like folds out. It's like
no.
a that'd be sick. That'd be sick. That'd be a lot of
But you
money, but it'd be
know,
sick.
it was one of those where like, because originally the way that script was written was the first 4 pages are of that battle between Jack and 001, and then it was supposed to be after that splash page and the kaboom, you turn the page and it's the title page, and then you go back to like
That'd be sick,
before,
yeah. But I mean, I think that
but it
all
works
things
the
said,
way
like,
it
yeah.
is. And digitally, it didn't really matter, but like from a print perspective, we just moved the title page from page 5 to page 1, and then just went with it there. It still works the way it was, but like that's a little inside thing there that like the normal person would never even know that, but like I know that. Jim's question. Go ahead and get that out of the way.
Yeah, okay, so let's go. He told me to read this in the most British accent I could do, so bear with me here. Okay, here we go. That's in it here. That's the cough and everything. He wrote it all out, all the script. So, oi. I imagine that's how he starts off his sentences all the time.
Boycott.
Oh. Oi,
cunt.
oi, cunt. Congratulations. So, I don't know. That was more Australian than anything. Okay. Congratulations, man. Creating
That's
anything from
terrible.
scratch deserves full applause. To take an idea and see it through to completion is a massive
Are
accomplishment.
you part of the
Ex
Beatles,
yeah, dude, I'm going for a Ringo Starr kind of feel. Especially when it takes input from others. He's loving this, dude. I can feel it. As that can be where the project suffers a lack of drive or whatever. So kudos for making it happen.
dude?
And to st to stop waffling on, tell us how it felt to be mailing out the hand, mailing out the heart. I can't read, dude. Media, not only nationwide, but also internationally. So basically, how did it feel to mail it out to people nationwide and internationally? You are an international comic book, so.
Yes, I sent it to. He's the only person in the UK that got a physical. There's three. There was three UK backers. There were four Canadian backers. Three,
And then
three, three.
you sent one to Winston McCall just for fun, right?
No,
Down in
no,
Australia. So
no. And if he asked for it, if he asked for it, I would absolutely do it. I'd pay the postage and everything.
he flies to him, personally hand it to him.
But I only del I delivered. There was two dig. It was four Canadian backers. Two of those were digital, and then two of them were physical. One of them was in Vancouver, Vangurvy. But it was more of a relief than anything. Like I was very aware. But I get into the zone. Like when once I got the books and started packing, like it was just like very focused, very just like.
Methodical, yeah.
Not really paying attention and like oh you know oh my gosh I'm sending this to here like I'm you know I'm taking note like I you know did the labels and stuff so like I know where they're going and stuff but like it was it's just it's an unexplainable feeling like really like I would assume that like that feeling sort of like goes away once you do it more than once but I bet there's you know again there's probably some anxiety a little bit when you do it each time, just because it's like this is new. Like, you know, what if they hate this one? What if they hate this one? Like, what if it doesn't get there? Like, what happens if the fucking post office doesn't, you know, ship it like it's supposed to?
Yeah.
Again, ran into those problems too. I do know another mistake I made. The only time in the whole process that I don't want to say I cut corners because I didn't cut corners on anything. I went with a cheaper route. But it was almost because I was forced to. All right. The original plan on the Kickstarter was to have an 8x10 signed by Hugo, right? That was not feasible because A, printing them and shipping them to Hugo and having him sign them and then ship them back.
It
He's
costs an
in,
arm and a leg.
well, he's in Cuba and I also don't know how all that works. Don't know if it gets lost, you know, like what, you know, how long would that take? Who knows? So I did an audible, had Eamon do it, and then the print that is sent out, like you could call it a poster if you want. It is in a very weird dimension. It is not like you can't put it in, you can't go to like Hobby Lobby and buy a frame for it. I don't think. Maybe it's 8x12, I don't know. Case in point
No, it's
being,
not, it's a little bit longer than
yeah,
12, I think.
yes. And so the poly mailer that I used fit it perfectly. So that's sort of the thought process and going into all that was I want to be able to ship everything in one package minus the bust. And trying to find a box that fit that was long enough to fit the poly mailers and that the you know 5-inch box almost drove me insane. I just couldn't do it. So next time I will with issue two, I will ship them in book mailers, which is cardboard instead of poly mailers, and just ship them as basically packages instead of documents because I went in and like there
Documents,
was,
I would assume, are probably cheaper
yeah,
anyways.
absolutely they're cheaper.
Yeah.
Absolutely they're cheaper. And so that became an issue with a couple of them where, you know, I took all these in at the same, like, I took them in batches, basically. The people that just backed the regular cover, all those went out on a Saturday, and then everyone else's went out on a Wednesday because I got the, or went out on Thursday because I got the books Wednesday and Thursday. And you know, there were people that got it in 2 days. I don't know how Jim got his in less than a week going through customs. Like, this is
yeah, it was
insane.
Wild.
But there's people that like live in the same town that would get them 4 days apart. And like, it just didn't, there would be people that I sent it to on Wednesday that got it before people that I sent it to on Saturday. And it's just like,
I mean, to be fair though, like, anything going anywhere in this country, like, or just
I
in
get
general,
that.
It's like, I mean, just to think about how many
But
hands probably touched, you know, it's,
I ran
again, don't
into
lick the pages.
This
So,
issue with, well, I mean, like, just in full transparency, I sent it to Ben, and you know, his co-host with on the Geekploration podcast is John. John got it on Tuesday. I sent Ben and John's at the same time. Ben just got his yesterday. Because the because it lacked postage, because the amount of postage was on it was only 260 when it needed to be 680. Now you tell me how that's possible when the guy at the post office weighed every single one of them and gave me the postage for every single one that I had to turn around and put on every single envelope. Doesn't make any sense. Does not make any sense.
Jim's got a bonus question, by the way, as well. So
I mean, that's
whenever
fine.
You're ready.
Yeah, but like, again, mistake. Don't use a polymailer. Next time I'm going to make sure that everything goes in a comic book cardboard box instead of anything else. And that way it's just
okay.
going to be functional.
Or
it'll cost
we
me
do
more in shipping, but
road trip. We plot out everybody back as
absolutely not.
Is, and then we do a road trip. We hand it to them personally.
Absolutely not.
Would you think that would be cheaper than mailing
no.
all of them?
No. No.
I don't know, man. It might. We gotta get a Tesla or something, or an
convenience.
Electric car.
I would never get a Tesla. Are you crazy?
Yeah, probably not a Tesla. It's the only electric car I can think of at the time. So
convenience sometimes is worth it.
That's fair.
What's the
all
bonus
right.
question?
Bonus question is: would you support a Polar Destroyer / Parkway Drive crossover issue? I feel like that's a pretty easy answer. Like,
meaning like what?
Like I feel like the question is asking like a Scooby Doo X Kiss
oh, yeah.
mashup
That'd
where
be dope.
It's like, but it's like Jack, and he's like, here, take these weapons. I imagine he's like an Idris Elba kind of accent. He throws him. He throws him to Winston McCall, and he's like, yeah, you got it. That's the only one I know from the band. Maybe Jeremy. He gets a gun. I think there's
who?
A Jeremy, right? There's a
Ben.
A Bill. Ben.
Ben.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Jeff.
Ben. Yeah, but
Luke.
That'd be sick. I feel
Jaya.
Like that would be really cool. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Or like they did like the theme song for like an animated show. That'd be dope.
That'd be really cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like, yes.
Yeah. But that is Jim Bop. You can check him out. Jim Plum. He is on YouTube, Spotify, whatever. He makes really good music, you know. So he's done several things for us. So all righty. What do you want to do next? You want to talk about the massive? I know, I feel like you've already talked about the massive amount of work it took.
I mean, I've just touched on it. So, again, I think it's admirable what I did, and like, I don't like giving myself praise. I don't taking compliments is hard for me. But I am very self-aware that, you know, everyone is creative in their own ways. Everyone sort of has an imagination. And so like, there is something to be said for just doing it and like actually doing it, seeing it through, because like, how many times have we all started something that we're really excited about, and then we just like lose interest, we quit, whatever. I mean,
are you coming at me right now, Grant? Is that what you're doing? Are you poking fun at me a little bit?
No.
There? That kind of, it's kind of hurts.
I mean,
it's fine.
No, it's not you.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
We've all done it.
I mean,
it.
That's something that's very human to do as well.
Right.
Like, it's just to, and especially like with me suffering, you know, it's like, if I don't immediately succeed at something, I
right.
immediately say, never doing this again, because that was a fucking nightmare. And I don't want that kind of rejection again in my life. So
you don't deal with adversity in that way. I'm very stubborn, and I'm
like,
very,
if it's not good immediately, I don't like it.
And I'm very much, I don't know if it's self-centered is the right word, but like, if I set my mind to something, I will see it through to the end, like just out of spite sometimes, because there has been so many times and so many people that I've known that have started an endeavor on something, and they just like don't see it through, or maybe they do see it through, like, and there's like a natural conclusion. Like, it just didn't work, so you just like wash your hands of it. And I think that's also, you know, respectable in its own right too. But like if we're getting down to it, I don't really know what it was that, I mean, I know there's moments that sort of kicked my ass into gear, but I don't know why this specific thing was the thing that I saw to the end, or to the end, you know, to delivery of the thing. Just to like go back to like sort of, you know, anyone who's listening who's not heard the story, you know, I came up with a concept basically working at Hobby Lobby, working just mundane retail job, you know, where I worked in, you know, the back in the crafts department. And on truck day, my department was always the largest department, like per item. And so, like, I always had the most. And then we were always the last one to get any help. And then that was a whole thing in itself. But anyways, like, the catalyst to it all was like, you know, this is 2014, I guess, 2013, 2014, somewhere in that time frame. And there's this picture, I'll have to find it, that I saw on the internet one time. And it's literally a polar bear, and he's just like has a machine gun, and it's like a watercolor painting, and he's just like mowing down penguins. Like, that was like the thing, and like that was the jumping off point for like just us riffing on it while we were unloading freight. And the original concept was a video game. I was a big fan of Shank at that point. You played Shank 2 with me.
It was fun. It was fun
But like
building.
that visual style and that sort of game was sort of like what I had envisioned. If anybody doesn't know, it's sort of a side scroller. It's not a beat 'em up in the turn in sense of like Streets of Rage or you know, TMNT or X-Men. It's not that sort of game, but it is a side scrolling, you know, action adventure game, I guess you could say. It's sort of like but it's not a Metroidvania either. I don't know. It's just a beat 'em up. But it's very violent, and the art style itself was like really appealing because it was like Batman the Animated Series in a way. And so like that was the basis of it. Like, what would be super rad if we could create a video game where you have this cyborg polar bear and like the enemies are penguins and shit, right? And you know, you just start riffing on things. Oh man, it'd be really cool. Like, you know, we'll throw in like 80s one-liners, and oh, like what if you get to the sequel, and like, you know, Game of Thrones was really big at the time. So it's like, oh, you know, when he goes this, he climbs this wall, like they did, you know, north of the wall, they
He
climbed a
goes
big,
no for the
yeah,
wall.
like, you know, well, let's implement that because that's cool. And like, you know, oh, it'll be like we'll do an homage to like Terminator and like all those things. And like, there's a point that's not in the comic book, but that is like sort of like on the side, like in my notes, where if, you know, if it ever made that point to where like it was a video game where you have to go down into the ocean, like, you know, your companion that you meet basically at the end of the comic book, you have to go down into the Arctic Ocean, and you have to fight an ice crack, and then receive and like get its heart and use that as like the battery for your fucking like gun that like gets attached to your body at some point, right? So like very video gamey-ish. But like and it was a thing we did. Like, we just riffed on it, right? We just riffed. It was fun, talk about whatever. And then we just like I just thought it was such a cool and fun concept, and I had such a good time talking about it that like I just sort of started jotting things down. I've always sort of fancied myself as like a creative person in that sense. Like, you know, you and I will talk about it too. Like, what if, you know, we do these what if scenarios all the time, and you're like, oh, that's like a really good idea. 'Cause like I'll like get hyper focused on a thing, and I'm like, this is what they should do. Like, I'm some sort of authority on anything. It's like, this is what Hunt Showdown should do. This is what the next map should be, you know? But I've always sort of been that way, and that sort of is because I was an only child. You know, I didn't have any siblings. I didn't have a lot of friends. I had friends when I got older, but like I spent a lot of time alone because my dad was working. So like, you know, I would do like fig feds. Like, I would take my wrestling figures and write out, you know, weekly programs and storylines and like title histories and like rival. I would do all this stuff, and like, you know, like I just did that, and like that sort of just like always sort of kept my brain in an imaginative way. But all that to say is like it just never left my head. And so like I just it was in my notes for a long, long time until eventually, I guess it was 2015, I found a guy named Rick Celius. It's Celies. And his art style was very Batman the Animated Series. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna get this guy. I got a little bit of spare change. I'm gonna get this guy to commission me a piece. Just do a character sketch. And that's how Jack was created. Like I gave him this very detailed, like, here's what I think you should look like. And he did it. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. And it's, and everyone's seen it. And I was like, okay, well, let's go a step further. What if you do me like do a penguin if it was sort of like Bane? And I was like, okay, great. So then that's how you get 001. I was like, okay, well, like, who's the big bad? All right, Oswald. He's sort of like Dr. Robotnik from Sonic the Hedgehog. He's in this giant mech. It's kind of an homage to like Wolfenstein and Hitler and those sort of things. And I was like, okay, let's do that. Let's see what that looks like. And then so then I have this like basis over like the course of like.
You started drafting like basically the
Well,
raw materials that is,
I mean, basically, so I had these visual mediums to like go by, and then I start concepting this whole thing, like Saga 1, Saga 2, Saga 3, right? Saga 1 is in the North Pole. Okay, well, let's go to the South Pole in the second saga. Okay, well, what happens after the South Pole? Well, it's a global affair, and we're going to start, we've had two sagas full of like Arctic enemies. Let's do other enemies. Let's do gorillas and elephants and all sorts of what have you. Let's introduce more bears because polar bears aren't the other ones. So like I had this whole concept with black bears had the ability. They're like pyrotechnics because they're in the forest like Smokey. Panda bears are really good. They're like ninjas. They're like karate. I don't know if it's like stereotyping or not, I don't know. Then you have like koala bears and grizzly bears, black bears, and so like you unite all the other bear clans into the final the epic trilogy part, the third chapter of the saga. And so that's where like, and again, like I had sort of done it from there. And then you off and on for years until 20. You would think that 2020 would have been the thing that sort of like kicked me in the butt because everyone was sort of just like finding new hobbies and finding new things to do during the pandemic. But it wasn't until I went to a local comic convention in October of 2022. I'm trying to get my dates right. And I was just walking around. And again, I'm not going to disparage anybody for doing the Kickstarter and doing your own books and living that life because it's admirable. It's commendable. It's just, I mean, 90% of stuff on Kickstarter looks the same. I mean, they all have sort of like the same art style and whatever. No, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Like, I get it. And like, I saw this person and they had like five or six books done. And I'm like, I can do this. Like, I can fucking do this. Like, I know I can do this. And it, like, I, just started looking on Reddit. I was like, this time I was like, I'm gonna fucking do it. Like, I'm going to fucking do it. Like, let's, there's no point in like fucking around anymore. All right. So then I got on Reddit for a couple days and just happened to, one of the questions is how did I find Hugo? I got on Reddit and I think that's when I actually like opened a Reddit account because like I had not had Reddit before then. And I just went to like art commissions or whatever. And I was looking for somebody and I found him and I was like, holy shit. Like I found his Instagram and like his portfolio and I was like, damn, like this looks great. I just messaged him. I was like, hey man, can you do me what eventually became the cover, which is the orange cover, right?
Also, shout out Reddit for being like a good place to meet, creators and
Yeah,
whatnot. Just
right.
FYI, if you're looking for somebody like an artist, there's a bunch of subreddits to go to, so.
And you have to be careful though. If you're like, I need somebody, you'll just get flooded with stuff though. You have it like it's crazy. You have to be very careful. But I didn't do that. I just went looking for people instead of asking people to come find me. And I think the biggest hurdle for a long time was finding the right fit, and then like you see somebody's thing. And like once I commissioned him to do what became the cover of issue one, I was just like, this is it. like this is like it was just like it was like a puzzle piece, man. It just fell into place. I was like, this is what the tone is. This matches the art style that was in my brain, and like, holy shit. So I message him. I'm like, have you ever done interiors before? And he's like, yeah, but I've never done a full book. And we're talking back and forth. He gives me the price. The price is what it is. It's fair, you know? And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, all right. Well, like, let me get back to you. And then I, you know, come back around probably like February. And I'm like, okay, man. I was like, let's do it. And he's like, okay. He's like, give me the, he's like, finish your first script. 'Cause like by that point, it was like 85% done. Like I just had to go through and like, you know, fix some things here and there. And I give it to him, and then like we just start working. And I pay him for 4 pages, which is the first 4 pages of the book. And I launched a Kickstarter. Well, I found Eamon. I'm pretty sure I just found him randomly on Twitter, and who did the variant cover, which is the blue cover. And it may have been Instagram. I don't know. It was one of the two. That was just one of those that I found on Instagram or Twitter, and paid him to do the variant cover. It just all came together really quickly, like from October to like the beginning of the Kickstarter. Like it just is amazing how in 6 months how much progress I made as opposed to like 8.5 years prior, how I didn't make it very, like hardly any progress. And I guess it's like maybe because I found the right person and was just like, let's go. And I start putting money into a thing. So I guess the monetary investment is sort of what kicked my ass into gear, right? And then
Then
like,
you manifested it. You
I mean, I
thought
guess.
about it, and you brought it into life. You know, you did that.
I mean, I guess, but like once I had the regular cover and the variant cover done, and then I had the first 4 pages, and I had enough to go on to really like, the STL file wasn't done, but I had the concept of what the 3D model of what it would look like, so I could launch it. It bro, and like sidebar, the most overly ambitious thing I could have done was fucking bust. Like it's dope as hell, but a hand painted 3D bust, just fucking, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. That STL file was just cost me an arm and a leg. All of it's dope, super dope. But again, like I launched a Kickstarter like 10% done of the project. And it's unheard of, really, because most people are pretty much further along. But like my business method was, okay, I will everything if this funds everything that I make is going to Hugo and paying him, right? He's good, he's a great artist. Everything else I'm gonna figure out on my own, and I'll figure it out on the way. Renting and all that other stuff. And luckily I was able to sort of space it out, like, you know, I could pay, you know, this chunk of this with the paycheck, and then I could, you know, do a little bit more and buy this, and you sort of like stack, and you don't buy everything at the same time. You just sort of stack it as you go. And like I just went with it, man. And it just happened so quickly. It just happened, all of it just happened so quickly. Once you start like cranking, you know, it's wild. It's just like crazy to think about, you
It
know.
did feel like you, because I remember you told me about it, I think whenever it was back when we were recording in the same studio there, and you were talking about how like, oh yeah, you know, your wife, what did she get you, one of the prints made or something of that
So
nature?
I
I can't
had,
remember.
so I guess Hugo, around that time in October, when I had got that cover done, I got it done and I didn't show anybody for like weeks. It wasn't until like after Thanksgiving that I showed anybody. So I'd been sitting on it for 5, 6 weeks at that point. 'Cause again, at that point, it was just like I never thought I would get to the point to where it would be a thing. And it was just like, oh, this is just a cool thing that I'm accumulating over time. And maybe eventually it'll be a thing.
And
But
I
then
feel like
like
it also feels.
she gave it to me as a Christmas present, framed.
That's right, yeah.
And I was just like, and that was another thing too. I was like,
I feel like it snowballed from there
it
for me in
did.
my head. It was like, okay, you got this done. And then it's like the next thing I know, it's like, oh, I've got like 4 pages done. And I was like, the next thing I know, it's like, oh yeah, we've got like he's pretty much got all like the script and everything like that. We're all done. Like, and then it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna do a Kickstarter. And then it just like launched really quickly, you know.
Yeah.
But
And then, you know, the The question is, what's the biggest hurdle? Patience, waiting. I'm not great at it.
Yeah.
I'm not great at it. And then, the internal deadline, well, the Kickstarter deadline was October, and I knew pretty quickly we were going to miss it. Hugo's like, I think he let his computer crash for like 3 weeks, so he gets put behind. And then I think there was a hurricane and a flood, and it was just like, man, like, it was just like, you can't. We just like couldn't win. I was like, okay, like let's set it to Christmas. And
Yeah.
then like we didn't make Christmas, and I'm like, I was in Philadelphia with Mike, and there was, I'm not afraid to admit it, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I had hit that point. I was like, I like nothing is going right. Like this is, and by the time like it, December had hit, people were asking on Kickstarter, and other people were asking me in real life, like where's the book at? And I'm just like, I got tired of answering that question because I didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
And I am transparent, and I am as honest as I possibly can be, because I think that you can build up a good reputation of being honest, and I think you get people s will see value in that if you're open. If you're not shady and being like, "Oh, it's coming, it's coming," but like, you also don't want to say, "Well, the art's behind." You want to be like,
You're
hey
not trying
man,
to throw anybody under the bus,
right,
kind of
because
thing,
it's
you
not
know? Yeah.
anybody's fault. Like, there's all sorts of things that we all could have done differently,
Yeah.
that I think that we're w well aware of, that we're applying different, applying and making it different for the second issue. Another mistake that I made was I got starry-eyed when he told me he could do everything. Like, I was like, oh, absolutely. Okay. I don't, because that eliminates me having to do anything else. I don't have to look for anything else. I don't have to. Great.
Which, yeah, it's understandable, like, why you would be,
And I
you know, like,
think
hey.
also from his perspective, I'm not going to speak for Hugo, I think that he took on too much by agreeing to do everything. And so, I don't, most
Because
people don't.
he kind of blew up after
He got a
you
lot of,
guys
I
got
know that
started. Like, I know you got a lot of jobs and
he was
whatnot,
doing a
too,
lot of
so.
covers for other Kickstarters, which, hey man, good for you. But I think, and maybe in his mind, like, hey, I can get these covers done really quick. That's a quick buck. And then I can, do this. But I don't think most people know this. It was probably maybe 2 weeks before, maybe 3 weeks before the digital version comes out, that I completely take a pivot, and I basically hire a new letterer and a new person to do dialogue. Which, shout out to Ben Robinson. He's been on the show plenty of times. Every time that we had done podcasts with him, I'd sort of talk to him behind the scenes, like once the mic's cut off, like sort of just jog his brain on a lot of stuff. Because, like, again, I didn't know how to do any of this shit. I didn't know how to do any of this shit. Still don't. And he just came in clutch, dude. Like, he just came in clutch at the very end. Was like, yeah, man, I'll do it. Like, absolutely. And just like an absolute lifesaver, to the point to where with issue two, he's more on the ground level of this stuff than he is coming in at the very end. And again, it was just, circumstantial thing. And I think that everyone involved, me especially, Hugo was very willing to be like, yeah, like I'll give this up and let somebody else do it. I mean, the truth be told, I wasn't happy with I wasn't happy with the spacing in the bubbles. I wasn't happy with the lettering. And at that point, it had been delayed two or three times. So I was just like, always in the back of my mind. And again, this sort of goes back to this whole idea of like, I may never get to do this again. And even if I had failed that Kickstarter, right, I wanted to be able to say that I did absolutely everything within my power to put my best foot forward. And there would be no regrets on like, oh, I wish I would have, done this, or wish I had literally everything that I had built up to it to that point was the way I wanted it. So that if it failed being the best possible thing it could be. And so you only get a chance to make the first impression one time, right? You only get one first impression. So I was just like, I gotta change it. I'm not happy with the thing. Like, I don't want to just put this thing out here just to get it done. It's already been delayed. Who gives a shit? And it ended up not being delayed at all after that point. We just sort of like scrubbed it and scrubbed the dialogue off and did it. And it was absolute lifesaver. Like, to the normal person, you don't notice it. But like, I have side by sides and you can see them. And it's, again, it's nothing against Hugo. I mean, it's just not something he does. He doesn't do lettering, but he just was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, again, like, he saw sort of the same thing. I would say that he got starry eyed, was like, oh shit, someone's gonna give me a chance to do an entire book. Fuck yeah, I'm gonna do this. So that's one of those things where like we've sort of pivoted for issue two, and it's more of a three man team now instead of a two man team where somebody tags in at the very end and cleans it all up. We're trying to make.
Are you already getting pressure for an issue two? Like, is there this new form of pressure for issue two now that you've had the book out there? People have read it. People are excited,
I
you know.
think it, yes, but not like I'm like not crumbling under this pressure. I think a lot of that comes from me wanting to keep the momentum. And there have been people who I feel have genuinely been like, dude, this is actually really good. Like, I'm not just like pumping you full of gas and telling you because you're a nice guy and like it's commendable what you did. You know, I did a podcast a couple of days ago and like, a person I'd never met before, literally never spoken to, was like, dude, this is rad. Like, this is like an like I can't believe this is your first book. Like, this is you're coming out of the gate fucking swinging. And I'm like,
That's everybody's like, oh, you know, you just ga I'm just gassing him up, right? I was like, oh, this looks so super cool, but no, I mean, it's like I meant for real, you know, it looks
like
awesome.
I know, and like
This thing's got legs, you know,
I
as
know
they
that
would
my
say.
friends are gonna be nice and that they're gonna say good things. I mean,
I
even
wouldn't have
he.
told you anything bad, but I mean, I
You
still
wouldn't.
like.
I mean, I'm not calling Ian out here, but he was like, hey, here's the little critiques that I noticed. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's great. Like that's good. It was nothing bad. It was just like something here, something there, whatever. And your friends are typically the most honest, but also they're gonna gas you up the most. But in getting responses from people, I'm pretty good at reading people. And so I have felt that all of the praise, which is weird for me to even like acknowledge, has felt genuine. And like, I think some people may be looking at it through like rose tinted glasses, or they're very proud of me. They're very proud of what I did. Again, sort of like looking at it as a thing more so than like what it is as a medium. But I think that I did a really good job in structuring it into a comic book. Again, it was not supposed to be a comic book. It just sort of became one. And, you know, the first issue has what, three or four different branching storylines with a fucking killer, no pun intended, cliffhanger at the very end. Like, you want to know more. And like, that's classic comic books, man. Like, I've read comics my whole life. I've never read a book that's like how to write comics the Marvel way. I've never done any of that shit. Not that I don't think it's valuable, but it's just not the way I operate in really anything I do. I wasn't one of those kids in school that was like, okay, here's the formula. I'm gonna learn it. This is how you do it. It's not how I function. It's not how I operate as a human being. I sort of find my own way to do the thing. Like, well, you and I will get to the same result. We're going to the same destination, but that journey to get there is completely different. And I don't want to take the same journey that somebody else does because it doesn't fit me, because it's not my journey, you know? And that sounds corny and cliche, but that's the way it is. Like, again, like I just did the thing, you know? I didn't know fucking shit about running a Kickstarter, and I did it. I didn't know fucking shit about writing a comic book, but I did it. I just sort of Just again, I just did it. You know, it's like some people, that's a huge, huge hurdle for some people. And that's why a lot of people don't get to make things because for various reasons. But I think the one is just like jumping into the deep end, right?
It could be scary, dude.
I
It could
mean,
be scary.
it's vulnerable, but you know, I do think that back to your original question, it's like, yeah, there's a pressure. Like, there is a pressure now because for
Issue two better be good.
well,
Issue one was super good.
well,
Issue
there's
two better be
that,
good.
but issue one's the hook, and issue two is supposed to continue the momentum, but you're also supposed to build upon what you did in issue one, which I think I've done. I turned in issue two, probably a week ago. Ben has looked it over, given his feedback back. I've given it to Hugo, and so we're in that process of like, okay, we're narrowing this down. Like, I want to start like, let's sketching panels. Let's start doing panels. Like, let's.
Filler. Issue two, all filler. Every bit of
No,
it filler.
well, one of the best compliments that I got from somebody was that there's no fat on this book.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just, it you jump. One of the things is, like, you do jump right into it. You've got this conflict. It goes, you're bouncing around very quickly. You kind of get very brief glimpses into, like, what's going on. And I do like the sense of, you don't know the whole picture, but you can kind of get to where, like, what's going on with bits and pieces missing, obviously, because you don't know the whole story just yet. So,
Well, if you look at it from like a fundamental standpoint, like there's obviously like you lead with the action, right? Like again, that was done intentionally for Kickstarter purposes. This fucking splash page is dope as hell. And like you wanna show this to the backers, like, hey, this is the sort of art you're gonna get, right? So then you jump in really like fucking DBZ style, like let's this fucking epic battle, but that payoff doesn't come off till issue four, right? Those first four pages are not. That's issue four for anybody listening. And then you start from the ground up, like, okay, here's this family, this bear, his wife, her name is Martha. Yes, it is absolutely a play on the Batman and
holy shit, that's so funny. Yeah,
Superman.
I was
Like
just
her,
thinking
yes,
that.
it is absolutely, that was done intentionally. I mean, this was like, yeah,
Martha!
and that's on it. I just thought it was always really funny. And then like it became the internet meme, and I was just like, "Fuck it!" Like this is what her name's gonna be, and that's the way it was years ago. Like I just never changed it, and so it was
Why'd
just
you say
whatever.
that name?
Yeah,
Why'd you say that
I mean that's the
name?
again, that's the whole thing,
It's like,
and so you just build it there, and it's very quick, you know. And that's another thing is like you spend 10, 12 months making this thing that's like a 10-minute if that endorphin hit, and it's a lot of work, but it's well worth it, and. I think it's paced really well, but if you look at the first issue, there's like, okay, so what happens to Junior, right? Like he's the only one who sort of survives that look like that ambush. You know, Martha's dead. Jack is dead, presumed. They take the little cub away. Okay, what the fuck? Like what's going on there? Then the looming question is like, why are they here? Why are they invading? Like penguins are not native to the North Pole. They're from the South Pole. What the hell are they doing up here?
why are they so violent? What
Why
do they
are they
got
so
against, what do
violent?
they against get polar bears,
Well, also, like if you notice, they're all sort of like military grade, like technology based, whereas like the
They're
polar
chromed
bear,
up,
or but the polar bears are more savage. They're more into like the. In a sense, the tribal aspect, because it's literally like they have their feral like raw strength and like they're
Oh shit,
bears.
dude. Is this just a retelling of Pocahontas? Is that what this is?
No,
That's crazy. That's the twist, dude. That's the
that's the
twist.
twist.
It got a talking tree in the third ep issue. So,
So the cliffhanger, right? Are we gonna talk about it?
yeah, sure, dude.
So at the very
Big
end.
spoiler. Yeah, if you really like, really, if you were like up to this point, you haven't read it, and you're on the fence about spoilers, like, yeah, don't. This is the big spoiler, dude. Don't spoil it for yourself. Go
So
read it real
I'll
quick.
give you like 3 seconds.
Okay. All right.
All right, so the very last panel, right? So Jack is presumed dead. He's floating off. He like floats into this cave, and then you see these creatures that look like elves, and then you see this big hulking like unit that
Yeah.
is Christopher Claus, aka
Kris Kringle himself,
what people
dude.
know as Santa Claus. Now, he is not a human. He is very human-ish, but he is not a human in this universe. There are things that I will not talk about that are an issue too that sort of builds upon that relationship. But he is an ally, right? He is like Jack can't
That's
do
very,
this.
and that's very progressive of you, honestly.
Jack
That's
can't
very
do this
progressive.
alone. I mean, somebody's got to build him up, right? Someone's got to turn him into this cyborg polar bear.
Yeah.
And then what better way than the guy who has a fucking workshop in the North Pole than fucking Kris Kringle himself.
And a bunch of creatures to work for him and do
right.
his bidding. Yeah.
Right. And also they do reconnaissance. They're
Willy Wonka.
They're, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that there, but like,
oh my
elves.
God, that would be Willy Wonka issue 3. He's like, you've got, he's like, Santa Claus himself is like, you got to get to the candy maker. And he's like, the candy maker. And it cuts and it's like, you got the Oompa Loompas singing to him and shit. But they're like, they're ravenous. They're like tearing apart enemies and shit. That'd be sick. Yeah, dude. Willy Wonka 2025. So
to build upon that in issue 2, all right. I don't think there's any right way to write, if you will. There's no like, there's no formula. In a sense, they'll tell you, oh, well, there's the arc, there's the natural story progression, there's the fall, there's the build up, and then there's the payoff, right? So the, you know, up the mountain, you know, issue 3 should be like the building up, and then like, you know, you slay the bad guy at the end. Okay, so like there's that, but like as far as how it's written, the way that issue 2 has come about is that there were 3 specific points and I built out from there. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's the way you're supposed to do it. It's just the way I did it. One of those being the sort of exposition and the building of the relationship between Christopher Claus and Jack. And like, you know, of course, Jack's not going to trust this person. Like, why would he? You know, and he's also just had this traumatic experience where his wife was just burnt to a crisp by this fucking penguin in a mech suit. And then like there's a very big thing in the center of the book that sort of you're building towards, like that's okay, here you, it's very like you know when issue 2 comes out, when it sees the light of day, it's like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Like I can, you can, there's a lot of foreshadowing and you can tell where it's gonna go. But also like you've got to touch in on the cub, like what's he up to, like what's their ultimate thing, why again, like Oswald, like what's his motive, like what's the whole deal, why are we here,
what's the end game,
right? And I've got 5 issues to tell it. And why 5 issues? Okay, well, it's a lot of work, first of all, but also I think that working within a confine forces you to be creative, and 5 issues is a good number. Most trade paperbacks are collected in 5 issue forms. And I just think that you can tell a very concise, straightforward story in 5 issues if you do your job correctly. And if you got to also trust your readers to know, like picking up things. Cause again, part of the collaboration process is you lay down specifics, but also like you don't, for someone who doesn't like their hand to be held all the time.
Mm-hmm, I don't.
I didn't. Did you feel like any of it was holding your hand?
Let's look.
I mean,
no,
was there,
I feel like,
was there
no,
anything in the
like,
book
think,
where you're just like, oh my God, come on. Like, I get it. I mean, I thought
like,
everything
like,
was delivered pretty.
There,
right on
it
the
didn't
money.
Feel like there was a whole lot of like going back to something, you know, like they do, like where it's like, hey, this thing's happening, and you're like, you're reminding constantly reminding the audience of anything. But I felt like it's fairly pretty straightforward,
right? So basically, if you're looking at it, okay, from this moment on, we're building to those first 4 pages of issue 1. The events from what happened to Jack in issue 1 all the way to issue 4. The payoff for the first 4 pages comes in issue 4. You're going to see 001 versus Jack. Spoilers, by the way. Like, that's how it's going to work out. So I have to build this whole story in issues 2, 3, and then up to 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to continue that battle in issue 4. So there's going to be a whole lot of shit that happens in this universe, in this story. A lot of lore building. But again, 28 pages to tell of this story, which I think we can do. I'm super excited for where it's going to go. But like you said, you know, I lived with what is essentially the first issue for 9 years, 10 years. Whereas issue two is 3 weeks. So, there's not much. One of the questions that was sent in was how much of the original script is the final product? And it's pretty close. It's pretty close. There's not a whole lot of stuff that was changed other than sort of rearranging and maybe consolidating redundancies, meaning like, okay, like we don't need two panels of this when we can just make this one panel to get the same message across. There, I think there was like one page that maybe had eight panels, and that seemed like a lot. So like, let's just make it four with like a background panel sort of thing. I think there's only one instance where Hugo was pretty adamant about doing a specific thing, and I was just like, fine. Like, it's not like, you learn to collaborate, you learn like what hill to die on, what not to die on. And then on, and on the reverse of that, like there's an instance in there too where I was like, this needs to be it. Like, I think this is like a money shot. Like, we need to have this. So there's that. I gotta get some water.
All right. All right. You're good. You're good. Good. I'm going to ask you some questions now. All right. So we got some questions sent in by the listeners of the podcast, people who supported the Patreon, not Patreon, the Kickstarter, whatever it's called. You know, dude. So yeah, let's
Y'all
just like
know it? Get that
they
banana bread?
you know, they, oh, the motherfucking banana bread in. My mom told me of good things. If you wait, good things will happen to you. Anyway, so I fucking love that so much, dude. That's such a good internet meme, I guess. I don't know. All right, so a second, so just following that strain, that person that asked that question, is there a lore difference between the visual differences of the sexes of the bears? Did I answer that? You got that? Did you get that the first time I
Is there
asked
a
it?
reason? Yeah, well, like
Is
why
there like a
one
lore difference for the visual differences between the sexes of the bear, like
of? Yeah,
male
they're
and the
male and
female?
female. That's how it works.
You one's got boobies.
The
And are suspenders the most evil clothing?
I mean, I think so, right? Like, if somebody
I've
has
never
suspenders,
seen, yeah, I've never seen a good person wearing suspenders,
the only
right?
thing missing is a monocle
Yeah. And I've never
and
seen,
a
you know,
mustache.
you give me one good guy wearing a pair of suspenders. Zero.
I just thought it was
Zero.
funny. Like the initial design, I was like, let's give him a pair of suspenders. Why the fuck not? Like, why does a penguin need suspenders?
Yeah, like what's he holding up? You know, what's he?
Yeah.
I've never seen a penguin penis before. So like what's he covering? You know? So
It's like a
pretty sure
bird.
it's like tucked away inside of him, right? I don't
Yeah,
know. I don't know how
right.
that works. Like all
One of the questions
animals.
is why penguins? I don't know. I don't know if it's like a deep-seated hatred for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I actually like penguins. I think penguins are adorable. I think they're very
God, they're
cute.
so cute,
They're
man.
so cute.
Apparently like the actual penguins, like whenever you go to like see like researchers have said that since they don't have any like natural predators where they live, because you know it's like I mean there's polar bears and shit and whatnot, but like and
Not
like
in the
sea
South Pole,
lions,
is not.
but yeah, but oh, I guess in the South Pole, but like the sea lions are in the water as long as they're on ice, like they'll just walk up to you, just like walk up to you and like, hey, what's going on,
They
man?
also
How's it
mate for
going?
life, which I think is adorable.
Yeah, they shake your hand like their little flint, the little
Like they're
fin.
cute. There's no real reason. It's just kind of the thing that happened.
Okay. This person asked, I know you're a big action figure guy, and I know that it would be super awesome to have your own action figure line for Polar Destroyer.
Goddamn right, it would be.
So if you got to pick the first four figures in the series, which characters do you pick for that series?
I've thought about this answer probably more than any question that's been submitted that I've seen. Because there's.
You don't want to go straight off and have like Jack
Well, you
and
do. I can
I mean,
think of.
maybe Jack, but not like, do you have protagonist, antagonist, all like
Luckily,
meaning
we have
out
more than
there?
one to choose from. And I think that's where I lean. Because, like, if you're doing it in a four figure format with the idea of, okay, you save some for the second series, right? I think obviously you can do two forms of Jack, right? I think the first figure out of the gate's got to be Cyborg Jack. Got to be. It's got to be.
Although I like Native Jack.
That's series two, because
That's fair. Yeah,
because
it has a different skin.
I think of it as a toy business, because you can reuse the same mold, and it saves you as a company, as a toy company. You're because it's literally the same mold. It's just it doesn't have the cybernetic parts to it. So of course, Cyborg Jack, Timber, man, I love Timber. Like, I just think he's just like a cool fucking character. So that's one of them. I want to say Oswald in the mech suit, and then like later on down the road you could have like a tank that is a, like an accessory that he fits into. That would be cool. You could do, you kind of need some cannon fodder too, like just like a random goon, right? You just need like a penguin goon.
I want the ocelot. The ocelot as one of
Who?
the ocelot, the little fur, what is it, what was it in
Oh,
the
I got you. Yeah.
background?
Yeah.
Yeah, the background character there. I think
So
you make Santa Claus himself a build-a-figure,
if
but
you,
span him over the entire series, right? So you have
oh God,
like
that's annoying.
five series.
Oh God,
Yeah, no,
that's so
it'd be
annoying.
so trashy, but at the same time,
You would,
it's kind of cool.
I would do Chris as see as two. You almost, you want to put Martha in there. So again, there's so many characters you could choose from. You've got to have cannon. You've got to have like goons. So I think series one is Cyborg Jack, Timber, 001, and a random penguin goon, where series two is Native Jack or Tribal Jack. You get Oswald, you get maybe a penguin, and then Chris.
I like the idea of like having interchangeable heads for like the goons as well, where like one
Yeah.
smashed or like sliced in
Yeah.
half and some
Oh
shit
yeah.
like that. That'd be
Oh
sick.
yeah. Oh yeah.
We got, what's a universe you would love to cross over with? Kind of like going back to the Parkway Drive question, but I think that's a.
There's two that pop into my mind. One of them is like Hellboy, and the other one is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's
I
fair.
think it might be a little more violent than Turtles are used to. I know that like The Last Ronin is
Maybe
sort
you
of
should go with
adult.
like Invincible.
I
Like have a
don't want
crossover like in
Invincible
minute.
though. Like it's everywhere
That's
now.
fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Hellboy sort of fits the vibe a little bit, and it's sort of contrasting of like, you know, this demon from hell and this
Oh shit,
fucking,
Moon Knight. Yeah, it's like a Moon Knight. It
I
feels
don't
like it
want
would
to
fit
cross
in
over
that
with
universe.
Marvel unless they give me a
That's
bunch of money
fair.
for it.
Well, then you wouldn't. You would only get that lump sum of money, and that would go on to make billions of dollars off of your assets. So,
Right.
okay. Do you have anything planned for outside of the finished like Polar Destroyer? So, do you have anything planned outside of finished Polar Destroyer? Yeah, I asked that
Like,
question right. Yeah.
do I have ideas or do I have
You finished
plans?
Polar Destroyer, all of them, all runs, like the three,
Well, right
the
now it's five issues. That's gonna
okay.
take
But
me
I mean,
fucking
like,
5 years.
yeah. But the Tolkien trilogy, you finished the Tolkien trilogy, and then it's like, what are you doing outside of Polar Destroyer? Like,
If I am fortunate enough to write 15 issues of a comic book that I created, I don't know. I have a working concept on a horror Western sort of thing, sort of inspired by Hunt, but like it's just that. There, I really like the like Eamon's art style is very like gothic and would fit Western vibe, like a Western vibes. Like I can envision in my head him doing interiors for this like grotesque monster hunting thing. But it's merely a concept. The focus is to finish five issues of this. L like that's after the fifth issue, I would then reevaluate if I wanted to pursue it further, because it's a lot of work.
yeah, I mean, that's
So
fair.
I have working concepts. I have all sorts of like little stories I've written down and jotted down. So like that's kind of a non-answer
I
in a
remember there was a
sense.
book that we were going to work on together. It's about
I
like
have that too, yeah.
going into space. I had that written in my notes still. I still have notes from
I
like the
have
Rouse
that too,
branch on
yeah.
that shit
I
too.
was
That's
looking
sick.
at it the other day. I was going through and deleting notes, and I was like, oh yeah, there's
Yeah.
all these, all the names and like where they came from. I mean, what was the concept of that though?
It was like we the pilots
Oh,
on the ship were going to the moon, and then like as they
the
were
Earth
getting to the
explodes,
moon, the Earth explodes. Yeah, they
and
turn
then
around
yeah,
like the,
that's what it was. They were the last people there.
oh no, and
Oh.
the Earth
Like it
explodes. All
literally, like
right,
an atom bomb goes off or some shit, and it
yeah,
obliterates. Like that's it.
yeah, they're done. They're done. Okay, so kind of in the same vein, is there any established IPs that you would want to work with?
You know, if somebody came up to me, some publisher, IDW, Dark Horse, I'm not gonna say no. Like if someone was like, "Do you want to write Moon Knight?" I don't know if I would ever want that pressure. I don't know if I
That's
would want
like,
that responsibility to write for the big two. Again, you pay me enough, they don't get paid a lot, but like there is a circumstance in life where that could, like, again, never say never.
I mean, hell, if they're paying you a bunch, that's that'd be my
But I
caveat.
would
I'd be like, hey,
rather,
but I don't care if it's shit. Like, they
I
pay me a lot of
kind of
money.
like creating my own thing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's less of a, like, while there is a lot of pressure, there's
There's
almost less pressure than
it's
just having to
harder
come into
work.
something
It's
that's.
harder work on a to create something new than it is to work on something already established, because you have a built-in audience on Hellboy, Turtles, Invincible. Like, all these things have a built-in audience that people are going to go to. They have the marketing machine behind them, but like you don't own it.
But not just that, like, there's an added pressure too, because you are going into a fan base that already
Yeah, you're
knows
playing in
how
somebody
this
else's
thing is.
toy
So,
box.
yeah, and it's like, you fuck one thing up, they're coming for you, buddy. They're
Bro,
coming for
let me just tell you.
you.
They're burning pictures of Tom Taylor online for like what he's done to Nightwing. So like, no thanks.
I'm gonna take your word for it because I don't know anything about going on. What did he do? Like, make him like slightly gay, made him bi or something?
I think
I
he
don't
is.
know.
I think Nightwing is gay or bi, but that's not even like that's not even the biggest transgression. Apparently, I don't read Nightwing. I just I it was a thing that happened this week. People were literally lighting his picture on fire and posting it on Twitter, and it's just like, well, guys, like, settle down.
Hey, I think, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I think you take it a little too seriously.
A little
Yeah,
bit,
I
yeah.
understand that you like this thing. Maybe we take a step back. Where was I? What's the hardest thing to tell or show in your books? Like, what was your approach to promoting progress?
That would, gosh, that's so hard because I don't know. I don't know. When I got new pages, I felt my goal was to provide an update once a month, which I did. I did. No matter what happened behind the scenes, no matter like where the progress had stalled or whatever, I provided an update once a month, which is more than most Kickstarter people do. I just, again, I'm transparent. But then like towards the end, it's like, okay, I've got pages, and there was some stuff I wanted to keep close to the chest. Again, like all like the last four pages, the reveal of Chris, like that was never that it was never getting out. Again, Ben didn't see it until he was at the very end. Like, me and Hugo were the only two people that knew that was coming until Ben saw it. And then Ben was like, holy shit, that's rad. Like, that's like awesome. And I was like, yes. So like you have to be careful to like you gotta show that progress is being made and also not give away too much, but also like enough to like tease, hey, here's what's coming, you know. I don't have an answer to that because I don't know if I did it. And I even asked our mutual friend like Thomas, like, am I showing too much? Like, what do you want to see? Because he was just like, I only want to see what you send to everybody else. I don't want to see any sneak peeks of anything.
And that's like, I feel like I was kind of in that same vein, but also I understand that, like, you're also trying to bounce, get some sort of like feedback from people and whatnot. And like, it's also it being somebody who struggles with being able to keep any kind of secret, I get it, dude. Like, if I've got something super fucking cool, I'm gonna show as many people as I can without giving away too much. So I mean, like, I get
Absolutely.
it, but I mean, I also understand Tom's perspective too, because it's like, yeah, dude, I want to fucking be surprised, dude. Shock me.
Yeah.
Shock me. Hit me with the shocker, dude.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's you. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Who would you cast as either the voice actor for a cartoon? Oh my God, dude. Fucking cartoon of or live action is the.
Idris Elba.
Fucking yeah, dude. That's
I
I was
don't know.
thinking of that already.
You said it earlier.
I do think that Jack would have that Idris Elba kind of like, God, he's just fucking read to me every night, dude. I would listen. You could hold me. I'll hold you. Hell, just read to me, dude. He's just like, Idris
It's
Elba's
got to
got
be
that
a deep
voice.
voice, right?
For sure.
Like
For sure.
if you're re if like well, I mean, I guess like if you're when you're reading it, what do you hear? Like what is Jack's
Not a
voice?
fucking. There's like, okay, so there's a really funny character in One Piece who is like, he's a literal like human mountain. Like, his whole like devil fruit power is the fact that like he could become a literal mountain. Like, he can become the base, and he's this massive hulking character. He's like literally the size of a castle, but he has the voice of like a squirrel, like a chipmunk or whatever. It's hilarious every time. But like, yeah, I mean, Jack comes on screen for the first time ever, and it's like, Alvin and the Chipmunks, playing his voice. Yeah, he's gonna lose some points. So he has to have some kind of baritone to it, right?
Yeah.
I say Who was the chick that played Gamora in Planet of the Apes? Planet of the Apes. Fucking, what is that movie called with the people, the Star Lord, the Planet
Guardians of the
Fitness?
Galaxy?
Yeah, dude, the Guardian
Planet
Protectors.
of the Apes.
Yeah, the chick that
Zoe
played Gamora.
Saldana?
Yeah, she is Martha. I love it.
I mean, maybe. She's not in there very long.
You get Hezbollah, the
No.
little man. He could be Junior.
No.
Fucking great. Love it. Deep pull.
Timber would be David Hayter, who's the voice of Solid Snake.
Okay, that's fair. I was gonna either that or
I need, he's got to have a raspy voice.
Tim Robinson. Yeah, I didn't do fucking shit. I didn't do fucking shit, but he's like he's Timber. He's so
What's
good.
funny though is like, 001 is very aesthetically based off of Bane, but as I've been writing and like forming all of these things in this universe, Oswald is actually the one that sounds like Tom Hardy Bane. Like when I
Yes,
write it,
yeah.
that's just what I hear. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
Oh man.
you must die.
Fucking, and then who would, okay, Kringle would have to be like,
Seth Rogen.
that would be honestly like, what a twist. Like, that's okay. So small note, like small sidebar is like the voices on Mario. Like, I know that we made a bunch of jokes whenever it was like we were talking about like, oh, it's gonna be, fucking Chris Pratt as Mario, whatever. But like all the voices on that movie kind of work. They kind of do a really good job,
If you
and
watch it
it's,
enough times, then yeah.
yeah. And I've watched it approximately 172 times, so I would know. All right. If issue one had a soundtrack, what songs would you pick?
Soundtrack would be the Blood Dragon soundtrack.
Sure. That's a good answer.
It is 80s synth.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I'd be
But
fucking
I
great.
would need some like wintry mix in there, like to make it. You need to be able to convey that, like, hey, this is in the north, the north, north,
North.
in the north.
No. Is no for the wall. I should have read it like that. I should have read Jim's question like that. What are your plans for the future? What is the big picture? Like, I feel like we've kind of hit on it already.
Plans of the future is to do it issue two Kickstarter, keep that going. I will go as far as the support takes me. Big picture would be like, I think it's primed for like a good like eight episode adult animation
Adult Swim,
series.
dude. I feel like,
Not necessarily Adult Swim, but like think of like Primal and how that was done. Very adult. Adult animation made for adults, violent. You could do Adult Swim if you wanted to, but it's also that's under the WB umbrella, which no thanks.
do you think you could do 8 episodes of Polar Destroyer without, do it in the kind of form of Primal where it's like 8 episodes and not a word is spoken. It's only through, because I mean, like, it's like kind of a play on the realism of like they can't necessarily talk. Do you think you
They can't
as a
talk, but they can
creator,
carry fucking machine guns.
yeah, they haven't figured out the technology yet. They can shoot a gun.
I think there's a version where Jack doesn't speak, but I don't think you could do it with no one speaking.
Do a hardcore Henry style from his POV. That movie gave me motion
But
sickness,
I
my
think the
goodness.
ultimate, like, star in the eyes here, or head in the clouds, whatever you want to call it, like a trade paperback would be crazy to have it on a fucking shelf, like a full fucking book of it. And I honestly bring it full circle, make a fucking video game. It'd be dope. I'm not gonna do it, but like somebody else can.
Coding is hard, dude. Coding is,
Oh
it's just
yeah.
part of it,
And I think it would it, it and it's very it's built for that, right? It's not that's not the intention, but like it's there. The essence is there.
All right. Who is your favorite character within the universe so far?
I can't count Jack, right?
I mean, you can. It's your shit, dude.
I
Yeah,
like
who are
Timber.
you?
I like Timber a lot. He
Yeah,
was
I
one
can
of the
feel that.
guys that like he's not a guy, but like he was one of the characters that as I was writing, I was like, I love this dude because he's a real smarmy asshole. And he doesn't
Yes.
really fit. Like he's a wolf. Everyone else is like a penguin or like a bunny rabbit or
I'm holding out my favorite character because like I don't want to you know, it's like I don't want to just dive in and be like, oh, Martha's my favorite character so far, right? Or like, you know,
She's
oh,
dead.
like I like Kringle, he's my favorite character so far, right? It's like I don't want to have a favorite
There's
just yet
also
in case
characters
there's
coming. There's
that's
new
what I'm saying.
ones.
Like, so I want to wait until like I see all of them in front of
The
me.
most requested character is a moose.
I mean, come on, you know. And then like when you get to him, it's like, is he gonna be a predator? Is he gonna be, you know, what is he gonna be? You know, whose side is he gonna
But
be
then there's a
on?
whole dynamic you have to deal with too. It's like, okay, he's a moose, so like, does Chris have reindeer?
Feel like it could be an argument could be made, but I feel like if you do have a moose character, he's gotta be seven times the size of everybody
He's
else
gonna be a
because
tall motherfucker,
I
I
don't
assume,
think
right?
that a lot of people understand how big meese are, dude.
Meese?
They are
It's a
so
moose?
big. They are so fucking big.
The plural of moose is moose?
Yeah. I still think that I wouldn't be
No.
able to fight him,
No, you,
right?
dude, a moose
I
is
would definitely
dangerous.
be able to avoid him,
No, you
right?
wouldn't. That
I
thing,
wouldn't.
you're dead. You're dead on your
I just
DOA.
feel I no, man. I just feel like I could dodge a moose, right? Like, look at that. Look how fast that comes at me with the horns. Like, and it's a
Motherfucker,
big moving target.
you won't fight a gorilla, but you think you can outrun a moose?
Gorillas, I don't fuck with, dude. That's very scary. There's a clip
Don't
that I've
think you
seen a
realize how
hundred
dangerous a
times.
moose is, bro.
Yeah, but like gorillas, I've seen a clip 100 times where a gorilla is just literally just fucking with the photographers, walks up, grabs one, and starts dragging him off into the woods. And he's just like, you can see it in his eyes. He's giving up. This is it for him. He's going, this is it. Hey, bye, mom. Love you. You know, he's dead. But it lets him go at the last second. And he's like, I'm gonna go shit myself real quick. Excuse me, you know. Oh man. Anyways, who did you enjoy fleshing out the and creating the most? I guess Timber it feels like you've already answered that question.
Yeah,
So it's yeah.
but also Jack, like what's his like the concept of like okay, like the basic is, you know, he's hell-bent on revenge, he's gonna do this thing, you know, but like why is he a cyborg? What's his motivations? Like what's the end game? You know, yes, he's gonna his thirst to like murder, does it make him the same as the people that killed him and his family? Like, where's
I feel
the
like
line drawn?
it's such a cop out though
I
too,
didn't
right
say I
though. I
was
mean, like,
going that
no,
way. That's
I
just
know,
things
but
you
I
have
mean,
to
like
think about.
that trope of like, oh, this man just murdered your entire tribe. He murdered your wife. You don't know what he's doing to your son right
Who
now.
paid? Okay.
You know, revenge. You can't go for revenge because like then you just become as bad as the people who did it. It's
Oh,
like,
I didn't say that.
fuck
No,
that, dude. Fucking.
everybody that's on the playing field is up for revenge, and it's full. You're getting a full dose of it. But the question begs is, who pays the price of revenge? Is it
Honestly,
everybody?
I lose my wife, my tribe, probably my kid. I don't got nothing else to lose, dude. I'm gonna kill everybody. Until I get killed, I'm
Does it
killing
bring you
everybody
closure?
else. Yeah, dude. I'm fucking, I don't doesn't matter. I'll be dead by the end of it. Like one way or the other. Anywho, what was your least favorite process of creating this comic?
More so with issue two than issue one was I never had a deadline with issue one. I never had a deadline.
Yeah.
Like until like me personally. Like there was a deadline created for the Kickstarter, but the writing of it, there was no deadline. Whereas there was a self-imposed deadline for issue two. And having to, because I always said I was not going to write issue two until issue one was done and finished and canon. The things that happen in the book are the canon or the lore.
Yeah.
And so like you build on that. But I guess the worst part is just waiting. Like it's just the waiting, man. Like I am patient, but also like I have a bad habit of like when I want to do something, like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to
Totally get it.
start.
Yeah.
And like I am dependent on other people in this process, so like you just have to like wait. You just have to wait. But then like when like you know a new page comes in, or like today, like I spent 2 hours going over all the notes, and I didn't give a shit about anything else other than those notes and doing those revisions. Like that's the only thing I cared about. But then it puts me in a mode, like I get so tunnel vision that it puts me in a mode that like I do it and I'm like, okay, where's the first page? So I'm gonna message all these people, all these artists that I want to do covers. Okay, like, why is no one answering me? You know, so like,
It's
like
like,
I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to give you money. Like, let's go.
it's been 3.5 minutes. You haven't responded or looked at my message. Like, what's going on here? Like, are we gonna have a problem? Like,
I messaged you 3 days ago. Why have you not told me your price? You know,
yeah. Like, come on. Like, I'm trying to give you money. You don't want my money? No, you don't want my
is
money?
my money not good enough for you?
10 years from now, right? You're being asked questions at a Comic-Con. And a 14-year-old child asks you for advice for getting into creating the comics scene. Like, he wants to create his own comic. What are you going to tell them? Like, what's your advice then? What do you tell them? Like, what is the, you're on a comic stage. Think about it. You're on the Comic-Con stage. You're like, yo, he's hyped. He's seen his hero for the first time.
Don't listen to outside noise and just do it. Like, just do it. Like, if you create a thing and it sucks, so be it. 99% of the people that tells you it sucks will never make it to where you did. So like you don't, I mean, there's criticism, there's fair criticism, and then there's just people being mean. And I just, the last 5 or so, I guess since Zoe was born, you just sort of like reevaluate what's important and like what matters. And I guess the background to all of it was like, you know, I wanted to show Zoe that no matter what she decides to do in life, she can do it. Right? Like, I did it. Like, I decided to write a comic book. I did a Kickstarter. I did all the shit that entails, and I fucking did it. And I can hand her this comic book that I did. Like, she knows that I did it. And I don't think she, it's not clicked in her head that, like, oh, like, this is kind of really cool that you did this. Like, she's not old enough to understand
Nah,
that.
that won't be until she's like 18. She's about to go off into college. You give her a box of stuff and your comics at the very bottom of it. And she's like, oh, look at this. And she started flipping through and like, oh, this is kind of rad. Like a Hallmark commercial. Yeah, I can see it now. So.
So, but I mean, just do it, man. Like, I think so many people are terrified and overwhelmed of the idea of doing a thing that we get lost in the fun. Like, we just want to, like, again, like, you want to do this thing, and I'm just like, do it. Like, every time you're like, I want to do my own podcast, I'm like, do it. Like, just do it.
Worst case scenario, you fail horribly and
Your
like,
worst case
what are
scenario
they
is you
gonna
do
do?
three episodes, you never do it again. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And to be the best three
You, like,
episodes
you don't
anybody's
fucking
ever
owe
heard of,
anybody anything. I did because people paid me money to do a thing, but like,
You could have gave it back. I don't think it would have been fine. So theoretically, right? That's how it would have worked.
also, don't listen to my advice would be my first point of advice. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. My advice would be like, don't let your dreams be dreams. Okay? Just do it.
Yeah.
There you go.
They built a shoe company for that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, they did.
That's a good
And
slogan. We should take it.
so he's already beat it to us. If you were going to put a cameo of a random person into your comics, who are you picking? Like, it could be a real person, it could be a person from another comic or
I did
cartoon.
that already.
I mean, are you talking about Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Or I mean, yeah, theoretically, yes. But I'm talking
But
about
it's,
like
I guess it's not random because he's pretty
who would
important to the
you
story.
put in? Yeah, like a deep pool. You're gonna put like Dennis Reynolds in one of the issues. Like, who would
Is
you do?
it egotistical if I said that I would want to be in it?
No, dude, you're
Me.
a person you could put in. It'd be fucking
Yeah, there are
dope.
no humans in this universe, so, but it would be me.
Oh, damn, I feel like that's a spoiler, dude. Because now it's
No.
like,
No. But now that I
all
think
right.
about it, I could be like,
That is
I could be experimenting
sidebar.
on.
That's a sidebar is that like, you now, like, you're basically God, dude, right? Like, in a sense, like, you are now God of this universe, like, that you have created, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it I know that's always been something that like I've kind of like been like in awe of when you have like people like George R. R. Martin, like as much shit as people give him, like, and it's well deserved probably, like, even to a certain extent, like, as much as I hate to admit it, like, the fucking idiot who's the bitch that's like really a bigot and shit or whatever,
J.K.
she wrote
Rowling.
Harry J.K. Rowling, like Tolkien, right? Even though he was a super racist, whatever, it's like they like are able to create these universes, like, right, even if they're stolen or whatever you want to say about like Rowling or whatever, but it's like you get to do this, right? You're God now, and like things you say are lore, right? And even more so, like in the universe of, like, now that I'm big into One Piece, as I've mentioned before, it's like the ability to like do a Q&A in the future, and somebody's like, hey, why, like, in this sense, it's like, why are there no people in this universe? Like, what happened to all the people? Like, you then get to take that question, right, and formulate your own answer, and that then is like becomes canon in this universe. And it's like you get to do whatever the fuck you want now. You That's a real power trip. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, it's a real power. You get to do, like, you get to create this universe. And now, like, it's like, and if anybody gives you shit, like, no, that's not right. Like, no, I'm fucking God, okay? I can say what I want about this thing.
I'll
Oh,
also
it's so
say that
cool.
there are, I think there is a value in not telling everything. So
Yes.
like the answer, right? The question is, why are there no humans? Because there's not. Like, because there's not.
You figured
It's
it
it
out.
does it because like ultimately what it boils down to is it important to the story and does it matter?
Yeah.
The answer right now
But
is no.
I mean, like, also, it is, I do like some of the more, the stuff that I've liked the most in life, like, that I've read, is like been things that where it's very open almost to interpretation, like,
Correct.
kind of
Which
like,
we
where
miss a
it's,
lot of, again, going back to the handholding.
yeah, I don't need it.
Because in my head right now, I have an idea of why Timber has aligned himself with the penguins because on the surface he shouldn't. He shouldn't, right?
Yeah.
But then like also I may never pay that off. It may just be one of those like Boba Fett things. Like he exists, he's a
And it's
badass
fucking
dude.
it's so dope, dude. I'm just saying, like, this is the cool shit. And it's, I love
Right?
it. Because I think that even if you go, say you go 5 issues, right? You get to the fifth issue and you don't feel like pursuing like the Tolkien trilogy, right? And you just want to leave it at five, leaving it with a huge ass cliffhanger. I think it's just like ultimately so good. Like, it's just
I
because it's
will
like,
plead the
you
fifth
know?
on that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Fucking hold on, I got it. My kid just will not go to sleep. He's in
Still
his
not
bed.
asleep?
I don't know if he's asleep or not yet, but I just heard
We only
a
got a
loud
couple more
boom.
questions.
Let's go. If you were going to, I already asked that one. Okay, is there any real plans for fan service? Are there any plans for fan service in the future? Like, is Jack's cod piece gonna slip off?
This sounds like a question that you came up with.
Don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about. I've
There's another
never.
part to that question.
Anytime soon, like, do you accept the furry community with open arms?
Yes, absolutely. They're
Hell yeah, dude.
powerful. And if they can get more people to buy my book, then abso-fucking-lutely.
Hell yeah, dude.
Is this cod piece going to come off? Probably not. It's
Okay,
not
I'm just saying.
important to the story. I don't know what you mean by fan service. Like, who am I appealing to other than the people that are invested in the first issue? This is not like
Yeah,
I've.
I
Not
mean, like,
Billy.
fan service, like, hey, boobs,
Oh,
little scrotum, here and
no,
there.
there are. I mean, there are nods and Easter eggs galore in the second issue, way more than there is in the first one.
That is something that you don't see much of, is like, is scrotum play, right? Like, there's not really much,
I
like,
don't think there's a. I don't think there's a huge demand for it, Ben.
I
Just go
mean,
look.
there's
Just
not, but at the same
go
point,
look
it's
at
like,
a. Just go put a like a grape and put it outside.
that's fair, I guess. That's fair. That's a good point. And I guess last question here, where does the name Polar Destroyer come from? Like, is it just a rad name? Is there a deeper meaning? Like, is it just, you just pulled it out of air?
I don't know if that is a spoiler or not.
That might be. If it is, hey, we'll leave that question for the next Q&A on issue
I will
two.
say the initial storyboard.
I
Yes.
feel like it's gonna destroy it. Yeah, let's just,
There's a
okay.
reason, right? Because I mentioned that if we ever get to that point, the second saga goes to the South Pole. Again, it's like, okay, you've invaded MySpace, not the old social networking, like this is my home, my territory. The North Pole is where I live.
You've taken over MySpace. You got rid of it,
The South Pole, like, okay, you've decided to play with fire. Let's go visit your house. Let's invade your shit. And so that being the South Pole. Now, again, working concept may never ever get that far. But there is a contingency plan in place. And there's a reason why it leads into the global aspect of things in the third one, if it ever gets that far. Again, like
Okay.
this whole thing is just an allegory for the polar caps melting.
Yeah, dude. This is all just
It's really just like an
hot
underlying tone
takes.
of like global warming. No, just kidding. It's
It's
not.
super political.
It's really
Hey.
like, it's gonna get picked up by some like far right be like, can't believe comics are political. And it's like, bro, it's a fucking,
Honestly, but
I
that's a
hope so,
great,
bro.
again, it goes back to the God thing where it's like, honestly, it's hilarious. You can do whatever you want with this, and it's like what you say about it. It is like it, like that's it has to be, you created it, you know? So
Now, I will give you a little piece of a little tease of like,
if you've made it 2 hours
yeah,
by.
there's a little tease. Again, nothing is final, everything is subject to change. But in the original pitch, the final scene, the post-credit scene, if you will, I don't know how you would do a post-credit scene in a comic book. Jack has done all these things, he's survived all of this. The whole earth, all these things have happened. He goes in. What do bears do in the wintertime?
Hibernate.
Okay. So he goes in to a cave. He fucking hibernates. This motherfucker is tired, bro. And he wakes up against credits roll. Just imagine it's whatever. It's a video game. Whatever. Imagine the credits roll. All right. And then he wakes up. All right. Very Jesus-like. He moves this rock out of the front of the cave.
Damn,
Walks
dude.
out of here
Okay.
like Jesus, right? And he looks up in the sky. He's like, oh my God, I can't see. Oh my God, so bright. Motherfucking dinosaurs with lasers, bro, have invaded from space.
Hell yeah, dude.
I always just thought that would be like a great post-credit teaser and like never pay it off. Like
Never. Like, how that'd be
never.
honestly so good. Be so dope.
But if you've made it this far, absolutely, I appreciate every single person that backed it, every single person that has read it, every single kind word, every person that has been on this journey with me, everyone that has helped raise this thing up and make it a thing. I'm hoping that like we can double that next time. Like, let's go and let's carry that momentum. Like, we're all part of the team now. And like, let's go. Let's get this issue too. Like, when it gets out there, and like, let's fucking steamroll this shit, bro. Like, let's get it funded way before it's actually done, and not wait to the very last minute. Like, I'm gonna do my job. I'm going to like cons and stuff, and I'm gonna give a copy to people that have influence. And like, again, like, I'm trying to go outside of the box on the cover artists and try to get more people with a different net. Because ultimately I just want to create, man. I just want to do this thing. I'm not doing this to be some super rich dude. I'm literally just doing a thing that I think is cool. I think it's fun. I just want to do it. And hopefully everybody else wants to see it. And again, I will go as far as the support takes me. So
I want to see it. I
yeah,
want to see it, dude. Let's go.
I'm gonna be at a local comic convention in 9 months. Is there a possibility that issue two is out by then? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Who's to say? You
Who's
know?
to say? But again, it's like I literally could not have done it without everybody. So from like the bottom, deepest, darkest part of my heart, like, I thank you so much.